Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back in here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, the game. Final hour here on a Friday. Peter Burns from the SEC Network joins us right now to talk Bama LSU. Peter, we appreciate a couple of minutes. I know you're pressed for time. We'll get right to it. You said on Twitter, I want to get your thoughts on this, healthy Tua or not, LSU is beating Alabama this weekend, hashtag full send. Your rationale behind that would be what?
Just go big or go home, right? Actually, I was trying to upset my wife, who's a diehard Alabama fan. And actually, I tell you what, the opposite side of it, I was making her happy because it seems like every time that I've picked against Alabama in my life, they've ended up winning. So she's probably pretty happy that I said that. But, again, I came in and I looked at these teams, guys, and I know it's 8 years in a row. And I think it plays into the fan bases knowing that, right, especially LSU's fan base who feels like they've just been kicked and left for dead. But I go back and look at how Ed Orgeron has changed his approach. From the time he was at Ole Miss to LSU, he's changed it. Even from how he's changed prepping for Alabama. A couple years ago when he took over for this gig, everything was fun. He was having a great time. And all of a sudden, Alabama week came and it was just like, you know, everything tightened up. And I think that they've approached it differently this week. I've talked to people close to that program. They said, this feels no different than the Texas game, than the Florida game, than the Auburn game. And I'm like, come on, that can't be true. And he goes, seriously, we realize that we're just kind of, you know, paralysis by analysis over the last couple of years. And I think that, combined with the fact that Joe Burrow plays well on the road and an inexperienced front seven for Alabama, is the reason why I give LSU the nod to this.
And I think one of the reasons, one of the players that could take advantage of that Alabama front seven is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's like the most well-named running back in the history of LSU football. And listen, he had 33 touches against a very physical Auburn defense. You can't seem to get a good shot on him. He had 26 carries, but he also was a big part of the passing game. He is just sort of really developing quietly into one of the better players in the SEC. He just constantly finds extra yards, great out of the backfield, does the whole thing. It feels like he's the guy that could take advantage of that front seven.
There is zero doubt. I'm glad you brought it up because everyone wants to talk about all these incredible wide receivers. And again, there may be probably six or seven NFL wide receivers. We may see two of the top three picks in the draft from a quarterback perspective between Tua and Burrow. But I really do think it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Najee Harris and the rushing offense that Alabama has. It is the key to this game because I think LSU has realized they can pass the ball. They can pass the ball on anybody. They can pass it on Florida. They can pass it on Auburn. They can pass it against top 20 defenses. But really, where they're able to kind of just really put that knife in your rib right now is with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And the sneaky thing that he does is not only catch the ball out of the backfield, but he reminds me of like Alvin Kamara with the Saints. And remember, Joe Brady came over from the Saints. And one of the things that Kamara does really well is a small deal. The amount of chip blocking he does for Drew Brees, just to keep Brees and his timing on point, Clyde Edwards-Helaire does a lot of that. So he'll be asked, hey, all of a sudden you need to chip block a little bit for Joe Burrow. We're going to send four wide and then spread out. I think between that and Thaddeus Moss, I think those are two of the ways that LSU has an advantage over a talented Alabama secondary, but one that really hasn't been pushed this season yet.
Now, the notion that the loser of this game is completely out of the playoffs, I don't think that's the case. Honestly, I think the loser of this game sits in the perfect seat because then they don't have to play in the SEC championship if they run the table. Alabama did it 2 years ago, and they sat back, and they end up finding themselves in the playoffs and end up winning it. Do you believe the how do you think the loser of this game proceeds as far as will they get an opportunity to play in the championship game?
I think what it comes down to is obviously, hey, listen, if it's a two or three touchdown score difference, if that's what the margin, regardless if it's LSU or Alabama, then it plays a factor. I mean, if you have a game that's 41-40 on a last second field goal, everyone's going to look at that and go, why the hell wouldn't we want to see these two teams again, right? The rest of the country may not want to see it, but it'd be hard to argue against, hey, these teams aren't deserving. You know, this isn't Georgia losing to South Carolina, or this isn't Clemson almost losing to North Carolina. So to me, I still am a firm believer that if Alabama loses this game, they may be on the outside looking in because of their lack of schedule and the cross-divisional opponents they play. But for LSU, if they can keep this within a one-score game, if LSU is within a one-score game, then I think LSU will have an opportunity, as good of a resume as anyone, to get back in.
Peter, always a pleasure. We appreciate the time. Thank you, man.
You got it. By the way, I had Gary Danielson on the show earlier today, and he was saying that he watched practice, and he said Tua's not 100%. He's hobbled a little bit, and that's, you know, and Nick Saban has never said that Tua's 100%. They expect him to go, but I really do think that that's going to be a difference maker in this game.
Okay. Keep the family happy this weekend, buddy.
Later, boys.
See you guys. Peter Burns joining us here.
A little nugget there at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's 100%. We said this 2 weeks ago. How are you going to be 100% after ankle surgery in 2 weeks? And I'll believe it when I see it. So
people that think that, oh, he's 100%. He's how? Nick Saban hadn't even said it.
Let me ask you this question.
Now, he said he could do everything he's asked him in practice. Mm-hmm. So
if he gets his ankle rolled up on, sacked, comes up hobbling and limping, and it's bad, and he has to come out of the game, and in goes Mac Jones. Is there any chance Alabama could win with Mac Jones?
Yes.
You believe that?
Here's my issue with my one question about LSU, because I'm with Derek on this. I like LSU to cover. I think Burrow, the offense, everything. I think Edwards-Helaire is going to have a huge game. I think he's going to be the guy that gets featured against that very young defensive front for Alabama. Here's my concern, my one area of concern where I don't think LSU can win, the matchup, and that is their pass rush. They are barely top 50 in the country in pass rush. They just kicked their best sack artist, Divinity, off the team. He's not on the team anymore. He was leading the team in sacks. So now you take the guy that had the most ability to pressure the quarterback off the team. You basically have one pass rusher in Chase on. I don't know this is why I think Tua can have a good day even at 70%, because I'm not sure if he's going to get pressure. Now, if Dave Aranda, who's a brilliant defensive coordinator, can come up with a scheme to get pressure on Tua or Mac Jones, then I think that's where LSU can win the game. But if you give them time to throw, whether it's Tua or Mac, they will find those receivers because those receivers are too good. Because you could have three elite corners, and they still have Jaylen Waddle who could get open. Like, that's the problem. It's like the Titans trying to match up with the Chiefs. Like,
true, true.
What part of their team are you going to take away? And if you take away, if you play a prevent dime defense where you drop everybody into coverage, guess who's going to kill you? Najee Harris. So what do you got to pick your battles here against Alabama. And my concern is their inability to get pressure on the quarterback. That's my one concern about LSU.
We got our picks coming up at 9:30 this morning. The big finish at 9:45. So some really good stuff today. Bama LSU, Vols Kentucky, the Preds, Titans Chiefs. One really interesting story. It's probably been the biggest story in sports the last 2 days. We'll touch on that briefly when we come back here on Morning Drive.
You know, I've got that one tiny area of concern for LSU. I have zero concerns about my house right now because Spring Hill Heating and Cooling takes care of us. They take it. Listen, it's starting to get colder. You know, that temperature's a little colder when you get up in the morning. Got to get the car started. You know, it's starting to get down into the 30s and stuff, so your house is going to start working overtime to keep everybody warm and cozy and toasty there in your house. And so you got to make sure everything's running smoothly. Give them a call. Check them out on the website, springhillac.com. All the information's there. Schedule an appointment. Join the Comfort Club. Have them come out to your house. Check all your moving parts and your bells and whistles and your pipes and get everything checked up. If everything's running smoothly, they'll make sure it's all clean, change the air filters, do all that stuff, and it prepares your house to manage the heavy workload of the wintertime. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, my family uses only these guys. We're not using the other guys anymore, and it's why we've trusted them, because they've got more than 2 decades of experience in Middle Tennessee. Great financing options in case they do find a big problem with your house. How about no interest, 5 years for qualified buyers on new equipment? That's a fantastic financing option there. They have a plan for you somehow. Whatever your house needs, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling's got a plan. Let them be your emergency plan. But in the meantime, join the Comfort Club and make sure everything's running smoothly. It'll save you some money, I promise. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, springhillac.com is a website. springhillac.com, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, proud sponsor of Smashville Live.
Back in here live on a Friday edition of Morning Drive. 5 things on the line tomorrow in Tuscaloosa coming up in about 5 minutes, the picks at the bottom of the hour. One big story that we have not discussed, and it's not really just an NBA story. I think it's a sports story in general. The outrage this week over Kawhi Leonard, basically due to load management, missing a nationally televised game. It was looking like it would be two games, but he only ended up missing one. And you could apply this to the NHL, Major League Baseball, this whole concept of load management where people get outraged over pro athletes sitting out days for rest. I think it started with Greg Popovich resting healthy players.
Well, yeah, and it was...
I don't mind it.
He got busted. I think he put Tony Parker and Tim Duncan on a plane, like on a Southwest plane, like not even a private team plane. From like Miami, like the day of a Heat's game, because like the NBA got all upset for him saying that they were going to arrest him, so he just sent him home, and he like basically trolled the NBA, and he's been fined a few times ever since.
But like if you're a fan, what you got to understand is these seasons are so long, and all they care about is winning a championship. So I get it. While you as a fan might have, you know, like shelled out a bunch of money for tickets to see Kawhi Leonard, you're going to be ticked off if he doesn't play. But you got to think about the end result.
Yeah, this was Adam Vingan talking about this exact thing with Ryan Ellis this week when we talked to him.
Watching Ryan Ellis last year, just based on the eye test, something wasn't right about him. And he was playing through some injuries last year that he told me the fact that he was able to play in all 82 games was an accomplishment in itself. And Ryan Ellis, to me, is the most competitive player on that roster. I mean, there were opportunities last year where he was given the choice to sit out for a couple of games and rest if he wanted to, and that was a complete non-starter with Ryan Ellis. He did not want to miss any games, and he had a career year in points last year. Average ice time, first time he played in all 82 games, but he still didn't seem like himself. He acknowledged that he was not completely himself last year. He wasn't able to do the things that he wanted to do, and that may have contributed to the play against Dallas in the playoffs that we always reference.
So Ryan Ellis, non-starter for him, right? He's not going to take a day off even when maybe he needs it. So I think it's up to the player to decide, frankly, if they want to go out there and gut it out. Like right now, the Fizdale for the Knicks is getting in trouble because he's running R.J. Barrett into the ground. He's given him so many minutes, right? And this is the opposite side of the equation. I'm with you, Nick, that if a team is trying to win a championship and what they believe is best for the team to win a championship is to give a player rest. Baseball has guaranteed contracts. The NBA's got guaranteed contracts. The NHL has guaranteed contracts. And maintenance days for players in every sport is pretty commonplace. I mean, baseball is the least physical of them, and nobody plays 162 games. Nobody. So I don't know why people are outraged about this. But if a player says, hey, I want to play all 82, that's fine too. I applaud him for it. But I don't have a problem with the team saying this is the best way for us to win a championship.
I mean, that's the way this it's become, you know, you got to protect the player for the end result. If the end result is a championship, I'm going to put my team in the best position to win a championship, then, yeah, these guys need to rest. They don't get, you know, they only get a certain amount of time to rest. I mean, the All-Star break, they get a chance to rest. But other than that, it's, you know, they're playing every 2 or 3 days, and they're traveling. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it. I would like, you know, if you're going to rest a guy, rest him at home, you know, because people do, you know, if you're playing away, people do, unless it's like a road swing and you're on the road for like a week or two,
but
then I get it.
Let me ask you, though, why not rest him on the road when it's not in front of the paying season ticket holders?
No, because they...
Because the paying season ticket holders are the ones that are probably most upset about it.
No, because it's one thing, but they get an opportunity to see him regardless because they're at home. The people on the road only get an opportunity to see him maybe once or twice.
But they're not fans of the Clippers.
But yes, they are. They're coming to watch, say, Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James. The people at home get at least 40-some times to see him. The people on the road, if they're playing, say, for instance, if the Lakers play Philly, well, they're only playing Philly, what, twice a year? So I would rather him rest at home than rest in Philly when I only get a chance to see him.
But the majority of people in those games at Philly are Philly fans.
But they're coming to see LeBron James still. They're coming to see LeBron James.
Yeah, I'd rather hurt the season ticket holders for some other team. That's what I would do.
No, I mean,
like if I'm the manager of my team, you know what I mean? Like I'd want to make sure my season ticket holders see the best players that they're paying exorbitant prices to see.
If I'm going to rest a guy, you got to understand I'm going to rest him at home because you have 30-some other times to see him. I'm going to rest him once, but the fans that are in Philly that that.
But why do I
care
about the Philly
fans? That want to see LeBron. There could be a Philly. There could be a Laker fan in Philly that bought a ticket. Like, me and my son, we're here in Nashville. If we know that LeBron's coming to Atlanta, we're buying a ticket because we're LeBron fans. I would rather him rest at home than to rest in Atlanta.
Yeah, you would.
And, no, but there are a lot of other people that love LeBron that live somewhere else that say, please don't rest. I am only buying this ticket because he is coming to Philly, and I want to see him play. So if you're going to rest him, rest him at home. Don't rest him because we only get a chance to see him once a year.
But if you're Clippers management – you care more about, like, this is like the Preds. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm a Preds season ticket holder and they're going to give Pekka a maintenance day, I want him to do it on the road. Because sure, there's a couple of Preds fans in Denver or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, the majority of people that spend money that keep our organization going are the ones who are here in Nashville that go to the game.
If you're trying to build your brand, wouldn't you want to say, wouldn't you want as an organization to say, you know what, we're trying to take this, our team, more than just local. We're trying to make our team nationwide. So we want to have our best team when we go on the road because we're trying to win over a fan that may be in some other state. And now, if I take him out and his fan is, you know, he wants to see this guy, and all of a sudden he gets to the arena and that guy's not playing. Now he or she has turned off. Like, I don't want to be a fan of him.
Kale,
but think about this whole process. So, like, does it start from the player saying, Coach, I need these load management days? Does it come from the front office? Like, who's initiating that?
I think it's the player. Now I think it's the player, and I think it's his circle that says, listen, you know, we got to try to work out something where, you know, if you want me to be healthy toward the end of the season, we got to work out a plan where I'm not playing, you know, for the extent, whether it's 5 games out of the season, at least let me get some rest.
Because you know who is ticked off about this? Chris Broussard reported this a few days ago. Adam Silver. Like, when you're the commissioner of the league, you don't like this because your stars and the league driven by stars are resting and just on the bench healthy. That's a bad look for the league from the commissioner's standpoint.
Would rather them do it low-key rather than to be out with it. Like, because everybody knows now.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You are just resting these players just to be if they were doing it covertly, then he would feel better about it. Because it all lands at his front desk.
And what games do you do it? Are you on a nationally televised game on a Sunday afternoon? Well, that's a much bigger audience, right? Like, if it's Lakers, Clippers, and Kawhi's resting, okay, well, that's a much bigger game, right? Like, you don't want to see that. But, if it's the Magic versus the Hornets or whatever, and you're resting your best player on a Tuesday at 9 p.m., you know, like, it's very different than if you're in a primetime setting or a primetime situation.
My thing is,
What are you supposed to do about it, though? I don't understand how they can legislate intent out of this. Because all you got to do, and this is why the Clippers got in trouble this week, right, is because they didn't have their story straight.
Mm-hmm.
First it was the knee, it was the patella tendon, and now it's, the doctor said he needs rest, and he's just resting 2 games in a row.
Just say my back hurt. That's all you got to say. My back hurt.
And then everybody gets their story straight. Everybody has to fall in line and say the same thing.
And the player comes in and says, my back is tight. What do you, as a doctor, what do you say?
How do you
Your
prove,
back's not
just
tight?
Prove that? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so my back's tight. I got to rest. All right, fine, rest and deal with it, and we allow you to miss a game or whatnot. But, I mean, listen, everybody that works, just about, you get an off day.
Yeah.
You got sick days. You got whatever. Why is people in such an uproar that an NBA player wants to take a sick day?
Well,
it's work.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we've evolved.
Like, we all take sick days, or we all got vacation time.
We've evolved past, like, we have a greater understanding of the human body today than we've ever had before. In fact, obviously, there's still a lot more learning to do about it. But we know now that, like, Cal Ripken's streak and of what he did in Major League Baseball is just not a thing. It's just not a thing anymore. You're not expected to play 162 games. It's probably not good for you, especially as a pitcher, to make all 35 starts, because then you're probably used up by the time the playoffs roll around. How much do we talk about Pecorine's workload?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it all the time that it needs to come down. It's gone from 65 to 61 to 58 to 55 games or whatever, and we know that that's good for his body in the playoffs.
Well, it could also come down to
that a goaltender doesn't start.
We know who the backup is. Like, you can reduce your workload and have load management for Pecorine at his age because of who the backup is.
Exactly.
Like, if you're the Clippers, you know, I don't know how deep the Clippers are, but when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are out, I mean, who are they going to? Lou Williams?
Mm. Yeah,
don't talk about Patrick Beverly that way.
They have a good team, but obviously they need their guys out there, Kawhi and Paul George.
And how do you guarantee that for the postseason? Mm-hmm. You manage their bodies in the regular season.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's not.
But you know who also hates it is the networks.
Of course.
Like, if you're TNT and you've got Lakers, Clippers, and George and Leonard are out, I mean, there's, 50% of your star power.
Here's the problem for me, and I don't know if I'm the casual basketball fan. I mean, I would probably be considered a very casual NBA fan, although I'm a lifelong diehard Grizzly fan. I would rather watch Shaq and Charles Barkley argue about stuff than any of these other games that they're putting on. Like, unless it's a marquee matchup, unless I'm getting, like, Portland or the Lakers or the Clippers or the Rockets or, you know, Giannis. Unless I'm getting, like, one of these six or seven teams that is marquee, there is not an NBA basketball game in the regular season that I care about. I'd much rather watch Shaq and Chuck go back and forth and argue about
it.
Because it's so much better. It's better entertainment. Like, you're telling me you'd rather watch a Pelicans without Zion versus the Hornets. Like, that's intriguing to you? Like, that's just not – most of these games just aren't interesting.
I don't think they want to see it.
No, right.
The Pelicans and the Hornets want to see that game.
they like how when it's 152 to 149 and they all scored 22 points. They love it.
Now, I throw a few bucks on under 232 and a half. Yeah, I'm completely compelled. I'll watch every single ounce of that game.
How fast the Golden State Warriors have disappeared.
Yep.
Holy smokes.
All right, Steve Kerr, what do you got, bud? Let's see.
Dude, it's about players. You know that. Yeah. Basketball's about players.
When we come back, Morning Drive Pigskin Picks against the spread. Stay there.
Pigskin Pick'em. Starts now. For entertainment purposes only.
Bumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Here we go.
That goes double for you knuckleheads. Yeah, you know who you are.
Let's go now. Let's go.
It's time to gamble, folks. Let's not sugarcoat this. This is what we're doing. We're giving winners against the spread.
As a show last week, we were 5-9-1.
Let's just cancel the segment.
I don't think we're giving winners right now, but Derek Mason is 28-19 on the season.
Unbelievable.
That is good money right there, folks, which means as I am now 19-26-1 and Nick is 28-32. So Nick and I losing people money. Listen to Derek Mason give out random over-unders for FCS games in the Patriot League. That is the way you win money, apparently.
Absolutely. That's the way you win. Sometimes you got to throw a dart at the board, close your eyes, throw the dart, and you may win.
So Derek Mason is 28-19. That's about, what, 50 games you've picked this year? I think all 50 of them were darts.
Yeah.
And you've done a great job. Hey,
blast squirrel getting us every once in a
while. 28 out of 47 is 60%.
That's crazy for just guessing.
That's a down year for you. But it's still really good.
It's down, man. It is what it is.
What you got, buddy?
I'm going to start off with the game of the century.
Illinois, Michigan State.
The game, what do you call 100 years?
A century.
Century. Yeah. What do you call 200 years?
Two centuries?
Yeah, two centuries.
A millennia. Millennia.
Yeah,
I'm listening to the Millennium Falcon music. Yeah. So,
a millennium is a game of all games. This is the greatest game in college football ever. 150 years of college football. This is the best game right here. Most anticipated game. Kansas State, Texas. No, I'm just playing.
It's actually a really good game.
It is. LSU, Alabama. Over under is 62.5. I am going with the over. I think it's going to be a track meet in this one. All right?
What?
62.5. It's going to be a track meet.
Kansas, Texas Tech?
No. Alabama, LSU. Yeah.
It's dropped. That number's coming down then, Kale.
Oh, yeah.
People are all under. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Florida International at Florida Atlantic.
Oh, rivalry.
The Battle of the Floridas. International Atlantic.
That's Butch Davis versus Lane Kiffin.
Wow, what a matchup.
Oh, Howard Schnellenberger is no longer there?
That's a tremendous quote. What a matchup.
59 over under. I'm going with the over on that one.
Okay.
So, there we go. Appalachian State.
Ooh, this is a real game.
South Carolina.
South Kakalaki.
51 is the over under. I am going the over 51.5. I mean the 51, excuse me. Liberty.
Ooh, they can score.
BYU, 58.
Future Arkansas head football coach Hugh Freeze.
58.5. You know what? It might be the weather might be a factor in this game. God.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. They're playing in BYU. I am going the under on this one.
All right.
I'm going the under.
Where will Hugh Freeze be coaching next year? Mississippi State, Arkansas, Rutgers. He's going to get a job.
Tulane, I don't know, somewhere.
He's going to get a job.
We're going to go UMass at Army.
Oh, my God. Don't pick against the troops.
61.5. I am going, good folks, I'm going the under on this one. I think Army wins. I don't think UMass scores a lot of points. Vandy.
You what?
I don't think UMass scores a lot of points. Vandy, Florida.
Oh, God.
50 points is the over. No. It's not 50. 48.5 is the over under. Gosh, I'm going over because the majority of the points are going to be scored by Florida.
Florida's going to score more than that by themselves.
I'm going with the over on that one in my last and final, because all these games have been good games. My last and final game, UTSA at Old Dominion. Saturday, November 9th.
Name
at 2
a single player in that game.
Eastern Time. John. 42.5. I am going the over on that one.
Williams is a good player on that team.
Yeah, he is.
Smith.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the total for the Wisconsin Iowa game? Two ranked teams competing for the Big Ten West. 38 points.
Yeah. Wow.
For a college football game.
You want to give
me playing? Where are they playing?
Madison.
It might be snowing.
Well, it's Iowa, Wisconsin. They're the same football team.
The game on to 10-7.
They're the same football team. They do the same exact things against each other.
Can the score be 2-4?
Yes, it's happened before.
Yeah, three safeties.
Mississippi State beat Auburn 3-2, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Penn State and Iowa played to a 6-4 game ending
score.
Should
that win baseball?
Nope. I'm positive.
Why don't you give your picks? Because here's what I'm going to do. I've actually made an audible.
Okay.
I am not going to give picks this week. In fact, I'm going to do something different.
Oh, no.
I'm going to give high school football lines for the high school 6A playoffs here in this area. I'll set the lines in a moment, and I want you guys to pick them against the spread.
Wow.
After
this.
Braden gives his pick.
I love this. All right, I'm going to go LSU. I'm just going to throw a bunch of darts here, too, and go underdogs here. LSU plus 5.5. That's the number at right now against Bama. Illinois plus 14.5. Illinois now has a winning record in college football, which is just a new thing to hear. They're playing against Michigan State on the road, 14.5 points there. Give me the 14.5. I'm going to go Iowa State plus 14.5, one of the best 10 offenses in America. They will be able to score on Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma wins, but give me Iowa State plus the 14.5. Louisville against Miami, that's a well-coached football team in Louisville. Not sure about Miami, freshman quarterback, Louisville plus 7. So give me another underdog there. Couple of quick favorites here. Baylor minus 2.5. I'm taking the bait here from Vegas. I don't know why Vegas has an undefeated Baylor team as a 2.5-point favorite over TCU. It should be like a 10-point spread. Mm. So that means probably TCU will win by 30. So give me Baylor minus 2.5. And then Penn State laying the 6.5 against Minnesota in the big game. So I'm going to try to pick all the big games there. So there's mine. I know you're with me on Illinois and Louisville. You got Florida, Georgia, and Kansas State as well. Let me see those high schools.
High school football 6A playoffs. I will set a line. Braden and D-Mace, you tell me side of the spread you are on. 7-3 Riverdale tonight at Mount Juliet, 6-4 on the season. I make Mount Juliet a 2.5-point home favorite.
So minus 2.5. Give me Riverdale.
Give me Riverdale on that one.
Okay, so you see, I didn't even give him the standard home 3 points. So you're reading the lines correctly.
One of the hardest hits I've ever taken in my high school career was against Riverdale. Okay. Jesse Chesterfield.
Riverdale.
I remember that guy.
Riverdale.
Ravenwood is at home tonight, 9-1 on the season. They take on 8-2 Stewart's Creek. I make Ravenwood a 7-point home favorite.
Are you just making all this stuff up?
Give me Ravenwood.
There's data that goes into this.
I think they cover.
You think I don't have yards per play on high school teams tracked?
I don't.
Oh, I know.
So give me Ravenwood.
So you had Mount Juliet at home minus 2.5.
Yep.
You've got Ravenwood at home.
Minus 7.
Give me
minus
Ravenwood.
Seven.
Okay, you going Ravenwood?
Yeah,
Ravenwood.
I will also take Ravenwood.
Okay. McGavick is a 3-7 team. They go to Brentwood tonight, who is 8-2. I make Brentwood a 14.5-point choice.
Mm. Laying the points, taking the favorites.
14.5?
Mm-hmm.
Give me that. Give me who are they playing?
McGavick?
Is this the first round of the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah. Give me McGavick. Okay. I'm taking McGavick.
In the playoffs?
Yeah. No. I'm saying the points because he's giving him 14.
Yes.
But give me McGavick.
You're taking the points.
Yeah, I'm taking
how
the points.
How did McGavin get into the playoffs as a 3-7 team?
It's a good question. Not really sure how
everybody,
they do it.
No, everybody gets in the playoffs.
Not really. Do they now?
Yeah,
that's not
I
what
think
happened.
Everybody gets in the when playoffs, man.
Not, only half the divisions got in when I was playing.
All right.
Yeah, so I'll take B. Wood as well.
All right, here we go.
Hate those guys.
Franklin. The Fighting Derek Masons of Franklin, 5-5.
It's my alma mater. Shut up over there. It's the Fighting Mies.
All right, well, Derek still lives in Franklin.
No, he's Ensworth, man.
Oh, you're Ensworth. Yeah. I'll find you an Ensworth line in a minute. Franklin's 5-5. They're on the road at Cane Ridge, who is 7-3. I make Cane Ridge a 4.5-point home favorite.
Give me Cane Ridge in a point.
Yeah, they're going to win.
Give me Cane Ridge.
But I got to go Franklin in the upset outright. Go Rebs.
Now, is Ensworth a 5A team?
So Tennessee is one of the only states in the country that does not mix public and private schools in their football leagues.
Mm.
And there's a lot of interesting reasons why that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
There's only like 4 states in the country that do that. So you got to go to the private stuff.
Private.
It's like, what is it called? 2A or something like that? You got to go to the private stuff.
Let's see here. I'll just pull a Mike Francesa. Let's see here.
Franklin High School. It's an imaginary player. Who's that?
Dino Babers.
Dino Babers. Your impersonation.
Yeah, I'm not seeing an Ensworth one.
No, I'm a
he's pulling it up.
No, they have Briarcrest Christian. They play Briarcrest Christian.
Do you have the records?
What did Ensworth finish
at? Ensworth finished, what is that, 6-7?
Ensworth is 7-3?
7-3, yeah.
Okay.
7-3, what does it?
Briarcrest Christian would be, let's see here, this is look great riveting radio.
Overall 9-1.
9-1.
Yes.
I'm going to make Briarcrest a 6-point favorite.
Oh.
How about that?
Briarcrest a 6-point favorite.
Wow. And remember, if any high school kids are listening, you're only betting cigarettes here.
Yeah, the Briarcrest is you're betting jewels at this point. Briarcrest is the 2 seed. Ensworth is the 3 seed coming out of the East. McCallie's the 1 seed. Looks like Christian Brothers is the 4 seed. Memphis University School is number 1 seed. You got Knox Catholic, Baylor, and NBA.
I'm taking Ensworth. What do you get? What's the point?
6.
I'm taking Ensworth.
Okay.
How about NBA versus Baylor? Baylor 9-1, NBA 6-4.
Hey, Ensworth has an exceptional quarterback.
Okay. There you have it, folks. High school football, college football. Maybe we'll give you some NFL when we come back. Big Finish is definitely next on Morning Drive.
The game. We've had a big show. And now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
Big Finish time. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And the Big Finish is brought to you by
Nashville Soccer Club. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today. Go to NashvilleSC.com. That's NashvilleSC.com.
Welcome into a Friday edition of Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5. The game. The Avalanche defeat the Predators 9-4. That is correct. I am saying it with 100% conviction. It actually was 9-4. Colorado put up a 6 spot in the second.
That's not the series total goal scoring in all the games for the year.
That's correct.
That was a game.
Hockey, baseball, and basketball, it's hard to do that, man. You know, 82 games on the ice, I got to give it 100%. No, I'm not. I got to preserve my body. I'm going to pull the old Kawhi Leonard. Body load management,
I'm all about load management.
Load management. I got to, these games that are back-to-back in 2 and 3 days and 5 and whatever, how many days, load management. I can't keep doing this. I can try to skate hard. Here's the thing. My mind's telling me no. No.
But my body. The Forsberg Johansson Arvidsson Duchesne Josi power play unit scored its 8th power play goal in 16 games. So immediately the tweets start coming into me. My mentions blow up. There's gifts galore. We're getting ready. Like, tattoo watch has become an official thing.
Thank
Every
God.
Time they score a power play goal,
yes.
My mentions just erupt. And how about this? One of our most devoted listeners, Gregory Anderson, sends a tweet, and it's me holding Dan Lambert from behind on the ship of the Titanic as Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Near, I love it. I love it.
Look at this photo. Look at the Photoshop.
Wherever
me and L Dog. 1912 before the boat goes under. We welcome in Josh Ward right now from WNML in Knoxville.
The conversation has definitely swung back in a more positive direction for Jeremy Pruitt over the last month or so. And wins against Mississippi State and South Carolina helped. Even the Georgia and Alabama games, fans came out feeling a lot better about Tennessee's head coach, especially the Bama game. But just like it changed very quickly for him in a positive direction, if Tennessee were to lose this weekend in Kentucky, that conversation changes as well. So how these next few weeks go are really important. And if Tennessee goes 2-1 in this final stretch and gets to a bowl game, considering the conversation after 2 weeks and after the month of September, it still would be in a much better spot. But that's the obvious goal. Tennessee needs to win 2 of the next 3 here.
Teron Davenport joining us.
When you look at the Chiefs, they're giving up 139 on the ground. So it's an opportunity to, like, everything just plays into that direction. You want to keep Mahomes and that offense off the field. That team is a defense that can be, you can run the ball against them. This team has to revolve around running the ball. So common sense will point you in that direction. I think Arthur Smith is going to do, and they really have to. Last week, what they did, 2 carries in the first half against the defense, is giving up 135 on the ground. It's unacceptable. So I think they'll fix that this week.
Does anyone love LSU football more than Coach O?
No. Nah.
Probably not.
He lives it.
He's building the same thing, right, that Dabo is doing. The problem is that Dabo is the best program in the ACC and can just win ACC titles. And Florida State is a dumpster fire right now. They might be hiring Primetime as their coach.
No.
In the meantime, Ed Orgeron's in the same division as Nick Saban. That is the biggest difference between the two. And frankly, Coach O has not proven in championship settings that he can win those games. Is it enough to get over the hump against Bama and Saban? We don't know. We'll find out at 2:30 Central Time, and I'm already starting to take my pants off just thinking about it. Guys, I mean, this is as good a football game as we will ever see in college football.
It is.
Like, it is spectacular. I cannot wait. I told my wife, I hope she's not listening. It's like, take the girls and get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
No, my wife knows.
Don't say anything.
Yeah. I told my wife on, I think it was Tuesday, I said either the girls have got to go play at their friend's house, and you can watch the game with me, or you're just going to get them, and you're going to find something to do.
Just make like a tree and
don't bother me.
Get the heck out of here.
Yeah. Peter Burns from the SEC Network.
Just go big or go home, right? Actually, I was trying to upset my wife, who's a diehard Alabama fan. And actually, I tell you what, the opposite side of it, I was making her happy because it seems like every time that I've picked against Alabama in my life, they've ended up winning. So she's probably pretty happy that I said that. But
again, I came in and I looked at these teams, guys, and I know it's 8 years in a row. And I think it plays into the fan bases knowing that, right? Especially LSU's fan base, who feels like they've just been kicked and left for dead. And I think that they've approached it differently this week. Joe Burrow plays well on the road. And an inexperienced, you know, front seven for Alabama is the reason why I give LSU the nod.
Pal Terry Crisp.
Our bread and butter has been, number one, our goaltending and our defensive work. But I think the biggest thing, and you recall, for the past couple of years, we've been saying, what a great offense we have. Our defensemen carry the puck down. Our defensemen are in every rush. Our defensemen lead the rush. Our defensemen join the rush, et cetera, et cetera. And it's almost like we've forgotten about the defensive zone for a while, and now it's coming home to bite us. And it's one of those nights where no matter what happened, it was going to go wrong. It was going to go bad, and it was just, you couldn't sit there and say, well, it was your goaltending. Or was your defense corps? It was your forwards. It was just a whole team effort last night. When you win, you have a team effort. Last night was a team effort to lose.
Players, it's not just that you've given up 5 goals in a third of your games. This year, it's sort of a couple of those times you're going, the situation doesn't feel right. 5 to Detroit, 5 to Arizona, 6 to Calgary when you were up 4-1, right? Like, that's the problem, is the comeback in some of those. It's one thing to beat the Washington Capitals 6-5. That they're a high-scoring team, you're a high-scoring team, that makes sense, right? You know, Colorado, if you lost 5-4 to Colorado, okay, fine. They're a really high-scoring team. You know, but 9? You know, 7 to the Kings? The Kings aren't a good team. The Kings are the worst team in the Western Conference. And you give up 7 goals? So it's how it's happening, too, is a concern. Not just that, you know, it's happened.
The lamp stamp.
Can we put Dan Lambert's head on a horse?
Yes.
So like a minotaur.
Yeah.
And then put that on your
a
back.
A horse.
I get Lambert's face tattooed on the back of my head,
so
and then I learn
around
to walk backwards.
I'm doing the Lambert walk.
See, look,
he did the lamb walk. Lambert walks into the office and he goes, "Yeah, hey, Lobs. Lobby, Peter, to deal with this kale guy. It's creepy. What's his problem?" And that was the Morning Drive Daily Rewind, a part of your Big Finish, each and every day at 9:45 here on the show.
Derek had a little grenade. He just rolled into the room, and no, it wasn't a fart. It was an actual.
I don't think Tua's playing, man. Honestly, I really don't. I think.
I will believe it when I see it.
If he's still limping around, I think Saban holds him out. Make sure he's healthy for the Auburn game. Because to me, if they lose this game close without Tua, then they run the table, beat Auburn, then I believe they still get in. Obviously, there are other things that got to happen with the other teams, but I think they are in a better position if they play this game without Tua and they lose.
Flannel Fred sends us a tweet. He says, you guys brought up how Ensworth is playing Briarwood Christian tonight. You know who used to be their athletic director and head volleyball coach about 15 years ago?
That's right.
Ooh. Go ahead. Give us the answer. You know.
I don't like this person.
It's not Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer?
No. Yeah, I love how you guys both went right to Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer?
I've trained you guys well. You know exactly who I hate. No, Hugh Freeze, right?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
Hugh Freeze is going to get a job.
Oh, Hugh.
Now, I would be interested. Like,
Power 5?
You got Kendall Briles in Florida State. Why not just hire Hugh Freeze and just have all the most corrupt coaches in Florida State?
Bring them on back.
Just bring them on down. Now, Hugh Freeze is going to get – they're doing good things at Liberty. He's going to get a job somewhere.
Okay. Final predictions here. Let's do the three games that we care about. Let's start with Kentucky and Tennessee. I'm going to take Kentucky to win by a point. Give me the Cats 21-20.
Wow, they're back favored by one now, by the way. Yeah. The money's coming back in.
I think UT wins this. I think UT beats Missouri and they lose to Vandy. But I got UT winning this.
I would say win over Kentucky, lost to Missouri, win over Vandy as well. If I had to go, it depends on how consistent the running game is. It's been wildly inconsistent. What does a quarterback situation look like? The defense. Great point by our boy Lee Sterling earlier is that when they play a running quarterback, They've struggled and they're going to be facing one. If Bowden is playing receiver or quarterback, they're going to use him on the ground a ton, and that's going to be a dangerous game. So I'm really torn on this. I think there's a reason it's a 1-point spread. I'll take the Vols. If they play up to their potential, they will win the game. If they make mistakes, Kentucky will capitalize.
Sunday at Nissan Stadium, the Chiefs and the Titans. I am going to go with Kansas City 24-20. I think Tennessee will get a backdoor cover, but never really seriously challenge for the win.
What's the spread?
5.5.
I want Tennessee to win this game. I really do. I think.
Oh, so do I. Wanting them to win and thinking they will are two different things.
I think they pull a Philly, New England. I think they win this game. I think they win.
You've had a couple of these right where you called these.
I think they win. I think it's close, but I think they win.
I feel like it's a two-score game for most of the way, and the Titans get – every time the Chiefs pull out to two scores, the Titans cut it to one score, but they can never get the big stop they need. It just doesn't feel like they're going to get the – because the only reason they – part of the reason they beat the Chiefs in the playoff game a couple years ago, obviously very different players, different quarterback for the Chiefs, different defense, different head coach for the Titans, but they knocked Travis Kelce out of the game in the first half. And that was a huge reason why they were able to make the comeback in the second half. I like the Chiefs by two scores with, like you said, maybe the Titans cut it to 7 late to make it look close. But I don't think they ever get the second stop they need to get the ball back and go down the field again.
Game of the Century 2.0. It'll be a different feel. It won't be 9-6. I will still go Alabama, but I think LSU is going to cover. Give me Bama 30, LSU 27.
Give me LSU 34. To 30.
Even though did you take the over in the LSU Bama over under the 62 and the
that's still 62.
You did.
Okay, you took the over. Okay,
so
yeah,
64
that makes sense.
Over.
It would be odd if you took the under and then picked the score over. I think LSU covers as well. I got if Tua plays and is healthy, ish, Bama 31, LSU 28. If Mac Jones plays, LSU wins.
Okay. That is it for us. Have a great rest of your Friday. Have a great sports weekend. We will talk to you Monday morning. Take care, Twitter world.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, I love you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at Chumbacasino.com.
Welcome to the family.